Hello, everyone.
Hi, Chris.
We will get started in just a minute or two.
No problem.
Okay, it looks like we are at quorum now. So we have two topics for discussion today. The first is the follow-up from last week, 5G discussion. Steve has something on controllers. We'll cover that first. And then Mehmet brought forward cloud services architecture. We'll get to that following. So let me stop sharing. And Steve, I will turn this over to you first for your controller presentation.
Perfect. I'm just looking for it. Yeah, I have it now. Okay, so last week I volunteered for to take an action point to try to propose something for the controllers here. And this is not to stop any of the work going forward, but really how we capture and organize this. And then I apologize, I had meant to send it out earlier than I did. So given that I was a bit delayed, I expect that I haven't allowed sufficient time for thinking and reflection about this. So I'd like to present it and get feedback, and we may have to come back, Chris, depends on the discussion. Sure. And I left the conclusion a little bit open as well to in order to collect feedback on this one here. So I just want to say this is focused on SDNC, APC, CCSDK, and the Common Controller SDK, and we also bring in the generic NF controller as into this discussion. Outside of this is any discussion about the VFC. As not an importance question or anything like that. It's just a scoping of this presentation question. And I was trying to work out what was actually in each. This is a, there's a few slides on background here. And I was trying to dig up the repositories and also what has been produced. And I found out maybe our page where we can see, have the repositories listed on the wiki is not completely up to date, but looking at that and looking at the presentation you did, Vimal, this was my best guess at what we have in each of these projects here. And as Vimal presented previously, let me bring up my red pen. We have a project for the SDNC, we have an APC project, and we have the CC SDK project, and we have the SDNR project. This is a sub project under the SDNC project, so it should be respecting that scope here. And this was my understanding of the organization. If people have feedback on this, actually, I'd appreciate it to get it right.
I only hesitation would be I won't use the name SDNR project because we never got any approval. It's not a project, it is a code contribution under SDNC project. To support some of the newer technologies like spectrum, the missing technology like spectrum logic, wireless logic. So call it SDNR work within SDNC project. That's my suggestion. I'll let other people.
I thought it was a sub project at the end of the day, but it's up to SDNC how they really organize that.
The sub directory within SDNC code, and the team is contributing and working with the SDNC PTL and the project to contribute their code. I leave up to Chris and you and everybody to say what do you want to call it. I think not calling it a project or sub-project.
Yeah, that's a good point. I shouldn't have called it a project. That's a very valid point. Maybe sub-project or work is maybe more appropriate.
Yeah, it's probably work at this point since it hasn't been brought forward to the TSC.
But if it's If it's a sub-project under SDNC, it's for them to decide how they want that, right, at the moment, the way we structure things there.
Well, that's but that would be a scope change in SDNC, and they'd have to get that approved by TSC.
And that's why, Chris, I say that let's just call it work. We want to get this thing done and don't want to create more bureaucracy unnecessary.
Okay, cool. But and this was what you can see is a number of the directories. Actually, I realize this should be a why does it always want to capitalize this on me? And then I couldn't find whether whether we had subdirectories for this or that, or didn't do enough research maybe. But what you can see is, of course, that the AppC is built out of parts of this, and so is the SDNC. Then they have additional things on top of that there. Then I went through the approved scopes, and I copied in the two parts here. So this is the SDNC one, and it was version 61 as the approved one here. And this was the approved scope, and this is basically talking about it's building a global network controller, uses a common controller framework, works with network resources. It talks about in the description logical instance per enterprise and so on there. The scope is a little bit, it should actually be redone when you look at this because it's too focused on release one. That was an issue we had when we were approving them there, but still, it's you can see it's looking for the use cases, the technologies for supporting that with Yang and the directed graphs, connecting to third-party controllers, and the configuration and versioning. The sense that you get from this is a little bit, it's a sort of biased towards the network side. I've done the same for AppC. They had more text, so I tried putting this on one page initially. And called out specifically here as the lifecycle of VNFMs, support of the use cases is here.
Stephen? This is Raghu. In the previous page, you said network resources. Would you consider a wireless link as a network resource?
What do you mean by a wireless link?
A radio link or a microwave link as a radio a network resource is a...
Okay. Now, I didn't write this, even though I was part of the TSC that approved it, so I should be able to answer your question, but I would say it's not defined strictly. I would say in reality, though, if I think about the 5G cases, it's the network resources would not be the radio one. They would be controlled by the VNFs, but something in ONAP is telling the VNFs some parameters for how they are issued. But it is a topic that you may say is open to interpretation because it's not strictly
defined. I would slightly modify your response. In my view, the spectrum and the RAN network, including microwave, is the network resources. And I don't believe that was the main point for why we need the scope change. That would definitely be within the scope of the SDNCs today as defined. And it's not done through VNF, it's actually PNF, but I don't think that makes any difference. The network element that we configure for the spectrum, DU is a physical element. I think the main thing is, Raghu, what we are saying is that SDNC scope is expanded, not just because we included radio sources like spectrum and microwave, but because we are doing application level configuration as well, layer 4 through 7. So that is the scope we are expanding beyond what is described here.
This will come to the discussion, but I don't think ONAP directly controls the spectrum. It controls the things that control the spectrum.
Yeah.
Hey, Steve, this is Parviz. Steve, we had this already based on the template you provided for Beijing. Do you have the delta from Beijing to Casablanca captured here? Because we already have the template. You already contributed that last time. Okay.
No, but this is the project scope, not the architecture. This is the project scope, Parviz. This is copied from the defined project scopes.
I think the real interesting question is for network resources. Does that mean underlay overlay, or does that mean VNFs like VPEs? If it means VNFs like VPEs, does it include the application level configuration of those network resources because the application is a network resource, or does it not? I think that's going to be the interesting discussion we have.
Yeah, I agree with that question there. And that's where this wasn't nailed down, strictly speaking. My reading of the situation is that when this was established, it was the overlay underlay plus VNFs that you may find in, let's say, the network space, if I can articulate it that way, firewalls, other sorts of VNFs from that point of view there. Because we also have the APSI that was defined, which is this one, that talks about VNF lifecycle management. It talks about the LCM configurations and so on of VNFs there as well, where this doesn't cover transport. So I would say that the one interpretation of these scopes is that APSI was biased towards really handling VNFs, and this is biased towards handling the networking as such. But in addition to that bias, it was initially set up to handle some simple VNFs that you will find in the networking space.
Right. And I think that by handling quote unquote those VNFs, it means LCM. So I think the evolution of the question is, you know, well, if SDNC is doing lifecycle management of networking VNFs, what is different in type between a networking VNF and other VNF? And if you look at what they're doing for VNFs in general, is 80% of it common between the two, so that they could really be just considered subclasses of the same type? I think that's the real discussion that we, or the evolution that we're discussing right now.
I would agree. I think that's a fair observation.
But so what's the conclusion? I think the previous comment is very important, underlay, overlay, even though that statement is not complete to describe the situation, because are you only focus on the virtualization and on the infrastructure underneath, or on top of the covering the legacy? I mean, everything is not virtualized in the world.
Can we hold this? This is just the background and input, okay? I think they're valid questions, but I'm just stating this is this is our baseline that we have. and I come into some of the options a little bit later once I put up some more of the material that we have to do. And then can we take the discussion there?
I mean, you need to clarify what are you covering. Sure, you have to clarify what are you really trying to do here.
No, let's not really debate this, because Steve is basically capturing the existing project description in a nice template that we can use. You're not recreating the description, Steve. This is already what has been agreed so far, correct?
Oh, I see. Okay.
This is what has been agreed so far, the current project scope as background, and we can re-agree and change this. But this is just the background of what has been agreed,
and
the version of that, because this has been updated, but it's the version that was also agreed here.
You are not adding new text, correct?
I have added zero new text.
This
is what's found in the wiki. I've just highlighted some parts.
Sounds good.
This is the current situation.
Yes.
And then from an architecture point of view, I've cut out, so I'm still continuing the background here. From an architecture point of view, we have cut out, I've cut out here the from the Bayesian release, the subset of controllers that we talked about. Actually, I probably should have put CCSDK as a library here as well. That's an update I should do. And we have the terminology layer 0 to layer 3, layer 4 to layer 7. And then we've also discussed beyond R3, and we've put in a generic network function controller. Now, we've never completely approved that, but it has been, let's say, some level of consensus around this picture here. Continuing the background, there has been the proposal, and I would say actually a way of working now, where we are creating more flexibility. And that is the ability to create a controller persona from the CCSDK.
One, okay. Steve, one more clarification. We already agreed in the Tiger Team discussion on the latest contribution. So is there any different content you're bringing in, or just from the last contribution that was pretty much agreed?
No, I'm not bringing in new content at this stage. This is just background.
Okay, good.
To describe in my words what's happening, and I have some slides that we're planning here. But it brings up some questions that we have to answer. And how many example controller personas do we want to reflect in our architecture? How many do we want to bring into integration and use in and describing the use cases?
The number shouldn't matter, yeah? It all depends on the use cases.
For example, it does matter. It means it does increase that. I think, so everything on the left, I think what Steven is describing is something that we kind of agreed upon. I say kind of because we never formally put a vote. We thought there's a consensus that we need CC SDK. We can create this persona. Now the question is, within ONAP for, let's say, Casablanca or going forward, should we say we will try to use only one persona? Should we use two persona? And if there are two persona or three persona, what those different persona would look like?
Correct, correct.
Steven, this is Alex. On the on these personas, can you elaborate on what they are? Just really quickly, give me an example.
When we set this up, we strictly have stated, okay, I should have put a CC SDK, I apologize here. We have a CC SDK and we have an SDNC controller and AppC controller. That's our current architecture. And that's fixed. That's a statement. That's what ONAP is.
Yes. Okay? Yes.
The idea of the persona is actually to be more flexible so that if a particular operator says, hey, I only want one controller, you can create that. So the idea is that the CC SDK is not a great word, but it contains a bunch of artifacts that you can use to actually create a particular controller. And there was a good picture about this here. I've taken this from this presentation here, where there is the CC SDK repo becomes sort of the main source of, it's almost like a recipe, like when you're in the kitchen, and you say, okay, I go to my pantry. This is my pantry. And here's all the ingredients that I have to create a controller. And then we have a magic way of pushing the button. And then we could have a wireline, a wireless. These are just example ones from this presentation.
Okay. So these would be... Okay. So how do I explain? These would really be sort of the control functions, the actuators of what needs to happen when we instantiate a VNF. This is only for day one, for instantiation, right? Or is it also for day four operations as well?
What it's saying is that we could make a decision as a community that we want two example controllers. One fulfills the scope of SDNC and one fulfills the scope of an application controller. Basically, this gives the ability to create some of the architecture a little bit more on the fly from that point of view there. Or we can make a decision we only want one example one, or we can make a decision that we want 10, one for each use case.
That's but a decision. Again, Stephen,
go ahead, Vimal.
What we are saying is all the code contribution, the artifact, the directed graph, the logic adapter, all done in CC SDK. The persona we create for ONAP are for illustrative/demonstration purposes. The actual operator might decide to say, I only want one persona because I have such a small deployment. One is sufficient. Okay. It does everything from layer 0 through 7.
But what's the, I guess what I'm asking is, what's the time to adopt to value here? Are you asking somebody to in order to use ONAP, I would have to build controllers that I need, or are you going to predefine a whole bunch that I can use out of the box? I mean, and how would this work? Let me finish my thought, Vimal. We kind of said that we ultimately want a generic platform that can handle any use case.
Yeah.
For that to happen, we need to be able to model any kind of anything using a consistent model. So are you saying all of these personified controllers would follow that same model, or how do you avoid kind of proliferation of how the use cases are interpreted?
Can I take that? Is the discussion that I think we need to have. So ONAP will, with this approach of creating the personas, ONAP will go down the path of allowing someone to create whichever controller scope that they want, okay? Then the question is, which of these scopes shall we actually represent in ONAP architecture picture? So which shall we put here? And which shall we bring into integration? Then when an operator is working with ONAP, they could have whichever combination that they want by taking, there will be a mechanism provided by taking the artifacts that you want here to create the one you need. That will have to come with subsets of the modeling, because part of this will be the interfaces northbound of the controller.
But you can simply say that each Lego block in the model that allows you to define and describe any use case in terms of how it needs to be deployed and operated, you could actually argue that those objects or those Lego blocks could have a set of operations associated with them, right? That would be a more kind of service-centric or object-centric way of doing this. Instead of programming a controller, you're basically saying, look, I have a base model. If you want to extend it, we can make it extendable. But the pattern is that you know, in order to create some Lego block, there's a life cycle, there's a set of operations you can use to instantiate that little Lego block. There's a way of managing it, turning it on, turning it off, managing, you know, whatever life cycle stages you need.
Yeah, but look at this.
Hey, Steve. Hey, this is Shocker. So I'm a little bit confused by this proposal. And let me tell you why,
I will hear you out, but just 1 second. This is not a new proposal I'm making. I'm just collecting previous information. But now continue about your confusion.
Sorry. So I thought the CCSDK project was there to allow the creation of allow the flexibility to create whichever flavor of the controller that you want to create based on your needs, right?
Not the switchover, but as many as you want or as little as you want. I believe that's what Stephen is saying also. So go back to the personal list we had.
But there are two levels. I mean, there are multiple levels of flexibility though over here, Dimar, right? You have the CC. I'm trying to understand the outcome of this project, right? I'm not arguing the usefulness of CCSDK or not, but what I'm saying is the CCSDK project existed to allow for the creation using the same toolkit to allow the creation of different flavors of the controller, STN controller, APC, and so on and so forth, without basically reinventing the wheel, right? That's one level. The second level of abstraction is, or customization, is to use the flexibility that we have with the directed graph to significantly modify the behavior of the SDN controller.
Or the controller, not the SDN, any controller.
Exactly, right?
So to answer your question, Johnny here, AT&T, today CCSDK doesn't have, it's not a, you know, super library. Right? CCSDK has some base code, and in order to create a controller, you need to have either depend on SDNC or you need to depend on APC. And I think what we're saying is that, look, put all the code into CCSDK, and then, you know, from there, then now you can create different personas. And so it allows that flexibility. It is not, you know, it is not possible today because there are multiple repos.
No, I understand. I understand that though, John, right? But I think the point that I'm trying to make is if there is a deficiency in the set of tools that we have in the toolkit, let's then focus on improving CC SDK, right?
I think that's what the, I mean, if I think that's what the proposal was. But if you have a look here, in the original scope of CC SDK, it was defined a little bit more as an efficiency mechanism than the flexibility mechanism, in the sense that it's a place to put a set of core artifacts that can be reused when creating the strictly defined controllers that we have.
Mm-hmm.
Now the proposal has been to take that a bit further and saying, hey, let's also provide the flexibility, and then we can create these, I can create this controller personas. I think you said flavors, but the word's been used as first.
So, yeah.
Can I say something? Shakar, you're right. The CCSDK doesn't really include the DG aspects. Steve, if you go back to the SDNC description, there has to be DG already presented. Guys, I got it.
But guys, hang on a sec. Sorry, Rubik's right. The basic premise when SDNC was developed is to create the flexibility within the directed graphs.
Yes.
The SDNC, my point, hang on a second, right? The point that I'm trying to make is that SDNC, in a way, is using a common toolkit, but the inside, the internals of SDNC, is an execution engine.
Yes, I agree.
That execution engine is driven by set of directed graphs that you could customize to your own environment.
You're right. There is SLI and DG already defined. Steve, did you miss that?
So, hang on a second. I want to make sure. I want to probe a little bit with Steve, Vimal, and John, right? And I don't know if Dan Timoney is on, right? But the
Hold on, Shakar. Let me clarify something, because this was extensively discussed in the Tiger team. Steve, if you go back to the SDNC description.
Not everybody goes to the Tiger team.
I want to go back to the SDNC description.
Just one second. Hear me out for a second. Right? And I want to make sure I understand John's point, Vimal's point, and Steve's point. Right? What I'm trying to share with the team is that the CCSDK was created as a building block for developing the persona of the SDN controller. But the SDN controller flexibility comes from the fact that it has an execution engine that can execute codes for you, which happens to be the directed graph.
Can I say two things here, Shakar?
I don't
know all the previous discussions about when this was created and so on. All I have is the defined scope that's here and the way it's used.
Mm-hmm.
And in the defined scope, it doesn't exactly reflect what you say. But given if what you said was correct, then I would say that the capabilities for having the DG logic would be one of the things you might find in the DG core. Then you have to also add some of the underlying logic, right, as well, for connecting to the southbound, whatever you need. So the idea here was that you could build something that has the SDNC scope with the flexibility that gives, and the APSI or something that's just for radio or just for WAN or just for the CPE, by taking the artifacts that you need, and then it's kind of like CICD to create this into what you need for there. And then on top of that, you have to populate that with the logic that you need for the particular use cases, onboarding, the Yang things that the Yang models and so on and so forth, right?
In this, I agree. I mean, we're almost saying the same thing, right? What I'm saying is,
then just agree with me.
I'm sorry.
Then just agree with me.
I did agree with you, and you're almost making the same point that I'm making, right? If there are deficiencies, then we should add those gaps to CCSDK, right?
Absolutely. Now, here is, but there's also
disagreement, Shakar, on that. That's what we are saying exactly.
But it also gives some other questions that we need to answer, Chaka, in my mind. And that's what I'm trying to highlight here, because now we have all this fantastic flexibility. Once this is, we're through this journey, fantastic, really good. But we also draw an architecture that includes these things on it. Which ones are we going to include in our examples that we have in the architecture? Which ones do we bring into integration, and which ones do we base the use cases on, is a question we need to answer.
Well, I think there's one other level of question before even that, and that is in CCSDK we need to distinguish between types or flavors, as Shaka said, and instances. And the difference to me is that an SDNC type would be reasonable in SDC. When you define a service type or a VNF type, it would be reasonable to say, okay, well, the service provider want this VNF type to be managed by this controller type, but then you would use something else like ANAI to figure out which specific instance. I would not think it would be appropriate to put an SDC associated with a VNF type what instance you want to use. I wouldn't think.
But is that really required, Gil? It seems like we're getting further and further away from the notion that you have a normative environment.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Well, I mean, ideally, if you have a generic model, if you have a common model for describing any use case in terms of its building blocks, and you have a way of describing how to instantiate it in a consistent way, in the way of operating, describing the operational life cycle in a consistent way, then you don't really need to have a 20 million controllers. You just need to have one that understands those inputs.
That's right.
And knows how to drive something based on a state machine that you define. But
this goes into the modularity.
Not just modularity, but I mean, it gives you a much easier system to manage. I mean, what we're doing now is proliferating these things potentially, and no one's going to have an environment that is anything alike.
I think. Well, my other point was to add a question to the top of Steve's list, and that is, how does ONAP know at runtime which controller to use, type or instance, for a given VNF, given resource? We need to understand that in order to understand the other questions as well, I think.
Those are two separate questions. The first question is, somebody has to make a decision to say, I think there are three questions. One is, we have a common place to do the code development, and we, rather than having a three separate repo, we want to have a common, as much community as possible, so that there are no clips are avoided. We agree, don't want to repeat that part. Second part is, somebody will decide, an operator will decide, for my scale, how many controller personas do I need? One, two, or three? So they make a decision and say, what are those personas going to do? They're going to cover this part, network type A, network type B, and network type C. That's the third question is, how do I tell that when you create an instance of network type A element, you have to use controller persona X, and when you create it, and that is what you are saying in SDC, we will catalog those three personas and say, when you design your VNF and PNF network element and services, you will tell which controller to use, what flavor of controller you are going to use.
But there's a way of defining this without having to go to all that complexity. For example, if I give you an example from Tosca, I can define a node type or a set of node types that represent my use cases and how I compose them. For each node type, I can define a life cycle. For each node type, I can define actions for how to create something, destroy something, start something, stop something. I don't need to build controllers. I can use one generic orchestrator that manages everything across a life cycle based on that definition. I'm just giving you an example of how it's been done before in the cloud environment.
Yeah. I do want to clarify my point, right? My point is, Vimal, I agree with you, right? I mean, you may need different personas, but my point is, the different personas should be created by providing different adapters different Yang models?
Yeah,
different. Hang on a second, sorry. Different DGs, not to clone the SDN controllers.
Exactly.
Right.
That's my point. Fundamentally, it seems to me that's a very different approach than what you're providing over here.
But we also want the common interfaces so that regardless of which persona we're putting in, we may need some special purpose. You need a small version for an edge cloud, for example.
No.
You want to be able to plug this in using the same interfaces and not have to have a gazillion different interfaces for all the different permutations.
What you really want to be able to do is inject that personality into something, into a shell, right? But the shell, there's only one shell. You inject the personality into the metadata or whatever you do, you infer from the templates, the service templates, what it needs to be. But Shankar is right. It's got to be something that you essentially do through adapters or through provider actions or something along those lines. You don't need to rebuild 20 controllers for each operator. I mean, that's going to be such a mess.
Service creation is there for a reason.
Yes.
Service creation is there to basically create a persona. Right.
Yeah, but I agree.
Shaka, I think that's a good point. I just want one observation that in the target, which is quite a ways away, there would be a common set of directed graphs, DGs, that would work off the SDC model itself. It's not like you would need to put the DGs into a controller to give it a persona. The DG would be model driven. Right, and so I think that was Alex's point.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we're saying
The operation also can be model driven, and I think that's the point we're both kind of trying to make, is that there's a way of accomplishing this without having to create actual different instances of different things. There's one. I think the whole beauty of a model-driven approach is that you only have a single controller and you just imprint.
You will never have just a single controller there for a large network. You will have to be able to put scopes into them one way or another, right? And how to do that is what we're discussing.
Yeah, I think there are ways to do it. As I said, if I have a small network...
But putting a scope on something can also be done in a declarative way, right? Not an imperative way, which is what you propose.
Alex, hear me out. One example given here is, if I'm doing a kernel, I'm just doing underlay overlay. We call that pink, and I don't ask me what pink stands for, but we call it pink. That's a persona that is created. There is no need to include RAN logic, packet core logic, spectrum logic, or CPE logic in that controller. We can say, just take the artifact that we need for that controller, DGs that we need for that controller, and create a very simple lightweight controller that only does overlay underlay.
Go ahead, Vimal, sorry.
Second one could be that now I have a 5G network that not only has radio and all the element, what we call RAN element, but the core element and the 5G, separating the drawing a boundary line between core and RAN becomes hard because sometimes core can be different and can be combined together. So we want to say, I want to create a controller that creates all the aspect of RAN, the 5G network that include RAN, packet core, all the logic for 4 through 7 application lifecycle management, and so this persona has lot more adapter, lot more logic than my pink, which is only for underlay overlay.
So how you plug in?
Can I stop this for a second here? Up till now, sure. I didn't think I was bringing in any new material. What I understand from this discussion is that more detailing of what we really mean when we create the mechanics of creating the persona needs further discussion. I think that's a
Can I suggest something to Chris and Steve, that can we kind of have a short-term discussion, say for Casablanca, let's have a proposal, and might not be a perfect proposal, we just agree on that this is what we want to do for Casablanca, and we continue discussion to say how we want to have this CCSDK and how do we want to create persona.
Right.
Forward.
Yeah. Yes. So that's what I've tried to do here. So I want to push back after Casablanca that we work as input into Dublin of when we move the representation to here and the person is to represent. And in Casablanca, we have APSI, SDNC, and CDSK, and we work with that and discuss. And then we have to go into describing the scope. Yeah. I would now add to this that we need to further detail the persona creation. Because that's
exactly right. I think what I'd like to see is another bold item that says, can we create different personas by using the model driven service design and creation, including Yang model, directed graphs, and the adapters? To me, that's the key over here. So Vimal, without going into great details,
yeah.
I would claim that what you just said about the persona for the RAN controller can be created using directed graphs, Yang models, and different adapters.
Okay, so I put that as a question, something we need to
thank
work
you.
Through. That's obvious.
All right, thank you.
Can you see one thing?
I think to rationalize what Alex is saying with what everybody else is saying is that if you have a truly if I have a resource, a VNF that can be truly model driven with no customization, no custom DGs or anything like that, then perhaps one controller type, a model driven controller type would meet the needs of all such types of resources, not instances. You might need to have multiple instances of that thing, but one type would work. But when you talk about specialized controllers that require custom DGs, like, you know, maybe for RAN or something like that, that are specialized, then perhaps that's where you need to define personas, because you have to decide what software do you want to inject into which controller. But for the model driven one, you get the model driven
what Gil said, Shaka, is that I think that's is absolutely, I think we want to have a model driven approach. And today we have multiple controllers, and we see, so one of the big problem statements is that there's a divergence in the way controllers are implemented, and there are also duplications in terms of the functions that they're performing, and there's a lack of clarity as to what function goes where. And so without unifying this into whether it's via CCSDK or some other ways, it's going to be difficult to really realize a single way of doing model-driven service creation.
I have a few more slides, and I'd like to actually put them on the table to get feedback. And actually, to be honest, to hear I was presenting already agreed information.
Do you really want some more feedback?
Well, and just to be clear on this, since we're already at M1, there's only so much we can do in Casablanca, and a lot of the more disruptive changes that we're discussing are Dublin and beyond. Let's get us back to Steve to go through the rest of the presentation.
Okay.
And currently, one bit of feedback is that the subscoping of L0 to 3 and L4 as L4 to L7 leads to confusion, because configuring a VNF with APSI, which is labeled L4 to L7, can actually cover L0 to L7 parameters. So I think when we describe this for Casablanca, my proposal is to drop that subscoping, actually.
Yeah.
That was basically what I was trying to say there. And then I was trying to say, okay, at the moment we only have the APSI, SDNC, and CCSDK to work with. So here's the last point, and this is coming back to, let's bring this back to the Casablanca timeframe. What is it that we should describe? And here I've put some options on the table. And we could say that the SDNC scope covers the RAN VNFs, PNFs, transport, and transport VNFs, and APSI covers other VNFs, IMS, packet core. That could be one approach. The issue with that, it's very difficult for me to explain the logic behind the split. And it does require a project change to come back to the TSC, which we probably have to do with whichever way we go. We would need the SDNC to specifically include the scope, the PNFs, and be more clear about the non-transport VNFs there. Another option is the SDNC scope covers transport VNFs, e.g. firewalls. APSI covers VNFs and PNFs, RAN, packet core, IMS, whichever, everyone. Of course, there can be different instances of the both. For me, this is an easy split to communicate, and that's what I'm interested in here. How do we talk to this about to the rest of the community as well, other people that are watching ONAP? Another one is that SDNC scope covers transport VNFs, RAN, PNFs, VNFs, packet core, and APSI covers, for example, IMS. Again, I think this is a difficult split to explain when we actually go ahead and document it there. These were three options I identified, and now I would like to invite comments about reflections on this or other options that we want to go ahead and put, because I think this is what we have to solve for Casablanca.
Steve, there is some fundamental issue with this split here. When you talk about layer one to layer three, that doesn't mean that...
I don't hear.
Okay. Steve, I don't know, Chris, how much time we have to talk about this. We need to come back to this issue. This is a fundamentally different way of splitting the functionality. The current architecture doesn't really split the functionality based on VNF, PNF, transport versus, it's mainly APSI dealing with lifecycle management and SDNC dealing with the connectivity services. It's not
which I said.
Arvind, I don't believe that's 100% accurate to what you just described. We want a single controller to be responsible for any given network element. So you can't have a configuration done by one controller, lifecycle management done by other one. The reason being that somebody is trying to change the configuration parameter using controller A, where controller B is doing some lifecycle management like suspend, restart, or reboot. It causes confusion. You have the same logic, same inventory, so we won't have a single controller to support all the...
It depends on how you change the configuration. If it's externalized and if it's done as a metadata, then you don't have much of a problem.
Let me give you an example, Vimal and Alex. Look at Packet Core. Packet Core has the serving gateway and PDN gateway. These are all data plane components. Those are like part of the connectivity.
No, they're not. They're layer 7.
No, packet core, like
packet core is layer 7. Yes, I know what it is. It's layer 7.
No, come on.
It's layer 7.
Gateway and no. Gateway.
It's layer 7.
Yeah.
You know what? Chris, we need to come back to the fundamental of this, how to define the architecture then.
Forget the specific use case. What you're describing is a set of things that need to be managed or connected together or operated based on a life cycle. And yes, the life cycles might be different depending on what it is you're managing or how you're connecting things. But again, in terms of a model, it's the same consistent set of actions that you have to be taking. Now, the providers of those actions, the adapters, if you will, might be different for different use cases, but the model is consistent, the operation is consistent. If you take a model-driven approach, you're just substituting in who does what. And you might have a million adapters for different cases, but what you're not doing is creating a million controllers.
Yeah. Hey, Steve. The way I'm posing is I'm trying to fully understand the point that you're making with the alternatives, and I'll pick on the middle one. So the SDNC scope covers transport and transport VNFs. APSI covers the VNFs. In reality, SDNC and APSI are one and the same. The only personas that the difference in personas is the DGs and the adapters that they're using.
But we have an architecture picture, and that architecture picture we show an SDNC and we show an application controller. So they're not one and the same, Shaka. They cannot be from a definition.
No. What I'm saying is they're the same code.
And might be.
But we have
an architecture picture, and I'm trying to work out what we put in that architecture picture and what we describe under it.
No. What I'm trying to understand is, so you're assuming that the architecture picture is correct.
That's
right. So what I'm saying is,
it is. We're exposing today.
But no, let me clarify. We're assuming that we're all interpreting the architecture picture the same way. And what I'm saying is, there was, and I'm not saying it's right or wrong, right? APSI and SDNC are based on the same code base, and yet they each have a different personas based on the DGs and the adapters that they're using.
But that's not exactly true. I think that if you take a DG that is supported by APSI today and run it through SDNC, it will not work.
Well, just because the artifacts are not there though, John, but the when you deploy APSI, you deploy the container, the ODL container with the execution engine inside of it.
Okay, Shankar, I agree with you. Today, if you look at the eComp, which is now ONAP implementation of SDNC, as Shankar, as you're saying, the DG and SLI, SLI, are present only in SDNC implementation. As far as I know, APSI doesn't really bring DG into the picture.
No, they
do. No, guys. Let's baseline. Let's make sure that we have the same information, right?
Yeah.
APSI, as a shell, APSI is like SDNC without the DGs and the adapters.
Exactly.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
What I'm saying is the different personas that were created today with APSI and SDNC, they have the same shell, but they're using different artifacts, DGs and adapters. Now, I agree with John, maybe there is slightly different variations, but the assumption is that they both are using ODL. They're using the same execution engine, different DGs, and different adapters.
But I'm trying to understand your proposal. What I'm saying is that in the Beijing release, we have SDNC and APSI. In the M1 for Beijing, for Casablanca, we have SDNC, APSI, and CCSDK. And now we have massive confusion about what is doing what, and that's what we have to explain.
Yes.
In order to explain it, we have to say why we have this difference, and these were different options that I had put up.
Hold on, a question for John. John, you said that APSI today has DD and SLI. Is that what you said, John?
Well, APSI today uses ODL as some type of base, but is not leveraging ODL. And
that's MD-SAL. I'm talking about SLI and DG. From day one, when we looked at eComp code, SDNC, as Shaker said, has the flow controller, which is based on DG, and it has the pointer to somewhere in the database. It's the SLI as a pointer. Those two components are not present in APSI, as far as I know. I want to get clarification from the AT&T team. Is Dan Timoney on the call?
Yep, I am.
Does he want to be on the call?
I wasn't sure if I was muted. I think we're seeing divergence.
DG and SLI is present in SDNC, not in APSI. Am I correct?
Wait, say that again?
That's not correct.
DG, hold on. DG and SLI, that's present in SDNC implementation, not in APSI.
No.
Hold on. Let me ask Dan. Dan, could you clarify that?
Hey, Praviz, the question is wrong question. So let's stop there, right? Hey, Dan, why don't you say whatever you want to say, please?
Okay, sure. What I was going to say is the SLI and the directed graph support is actually in CCSDK, which resides in both SDNC and
exactly.
Okay.
The core is the CC SDK, right? They both are developed based on the CC SDK.
So then we have a common model then. Then what is the argument?
The argument is, when we describe the discussion is, when we describe this up, I think we need to describe, to be very clear about what the scope of these functions.
This is the documentation.
It's more than documentation.
This is SDNR. This is where does SDNR go, and how do we explain it in a clear and consistent manner? Because Steve's basically right that there's a lot of confusion. If SDNC, which is doing 0 through 3, is now doing 0 through 7.
Yeah, that's okay. I agree with you. That is a session that you're expecting SDNR to come to the architecture subcommittee, correct?
No, but this is, sorry, but Pavis, this is that discussion.
No, hold on. Steve, please. SDNR team agreed to present, to make a presentation to the ARC subcommittee.
Which we did last week, and that was the discussion that we had. And I think Steven started with that to say SDNR work is within that. How do we create personas to Casablanca release? It is not a separate controller, not a separate project, not a sub-project. It is the work that is being contributed within SDNC project. Question is, Casablanca, how many Docker container we are going to create, controller Docker container, and which controller is going to support which network elements?
Okay.
That's exactly right. There is another option that I didn't put up here, maybe, and that is we only have one controller in Casablanca, but I think it's quite disruptive. Yeah. And what does it mean from a project point of view?
Yeah, I don't think we can do that in Casablanca. We could talk about it longer term, but you're right. The level of disruption that we would have in this release would be significant.
Yeah. Hey, Vimal, we talked about it last week. Is there a way to create your SDNR persona by using different DGs and different Yang models and different adapters?
Well, basically, we don't want to add a third persona within ONAP community. That is one thing we want to keep.
I agree.
So either we go to one or we keep two. If you keep two, which is SDNC and FC, which one is going to support which technical element, and how do we clearly document and communicate? I think those are the two questions.
Mm-hmm. But this is where I get really confused, right? So if the logic that you're creating, the service that you're creating, has a recipe that invokes certain DGs within the SDN controller, so why would I need yet another controller?
I don't need, Sagar, I think we are not saying that we need another controller.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the picture we have. We said, look, you know, within SDNC repo, we are adding some logic to do RAN processing, spectrum logic, and so on. And when we create persona, I went to say for Casablanca, 5G network element, whether it's a DU or CU, would they be controlled and managed in C? And if the question came back and said, if we do, and our suggestion was to use SDNC, the question came back and said, if we do that, we need to document properly, saying the scope of SDNC is more than what was described previously, and how do we communicate that thing properly? That's what everyone is trying to do.
I'm sort of coming back. What we said was the work must continue. We don't want to hold that work up, and we have to describe. We have to capture how we want to describe and articulate this in a clear way. And it's rather confusing today. And I put three options here, and they have some implications. And obviously, we're not going to conclude that now. So maybe what we can do, Chris. Otherwise, we'll take the next hour, which is fine by me, but probably not fine for the next topic,
is
that we could, I mean, we've been through this, we understand there's work that we need to progress for preparation for Dublin, but short term we need to progress the answer to the question that I'm having here. And this was a starting point here, and I didn't expect this to conclude, and which is why the next page is blank. The my proposal is, let's first capture the alternatives, and here are some alternatives, and maybe there could be some other alternatives, and then let's debate the alternatives. So if you have more alternatives, please let me know when I will update it. I think
Stephen or Chris, could I suggest something? Let people digest these three alternatives and work with Stephen to give their comment, and Stephen can come back and say, look, you know, based on the feedback he received, alternative X, I won't even know whether X is A, B, or C, or A, 1, 2, or 3, is a preferred approach. And the work continues. We need to decide what personas are, which persona is going to create, support which network element. I think it's not something that is urgent, has to be done today. And we can do that and let people digest this and give feedback.
Yeah, I mean,
that's fine.
This is Dan. The only thing I can say is alternative one, I think we can commit to for Casablanca. Alternative two, I don't believe we can.
Yeah. And then those are the kind of comments we probably need. That's what I'm saying, that let the community give feedback and say which one we can support in Casablanca.
Vimal, we have the code base for SDSC and APT. We are not going to change that for Casablanca for sure. For
why don't we come back to this next week? Does that work for everybody? You can have time to digest, put up feedback on email or on the wiki, and then we can come back to this and have further discussion once people have had a chance to digest.
Yeah, the only So can I suggest something? Given the holiday and the short duration, it's not as I said, work continues, and what we decide to call them probably is not going to impact the work. Can we give one more week for people to digest and give their feedback? And
no, Chris, I have one clarification for the architecture subcommittee. I was not in the last week call. What is the architecture subcommittee position on SDNR for Casablanca? Do you want to include or not?
It's not in the architecture.
I know, but what is the Casablanca architecture? Is it going to cover SDNR, or SDNR is only a part?
There is no SDNR in the architecture.
Okay. So Casablanca, what we were going to do, the code contributions that were previously called SDNR are being submitted as part of CCSDK.
Yeah.
The personas being created in SDNC.
So there is no reference there is no reference to SDNR whatsoever, or there is a reference.
How many times can I say this, Parviz? It is not in the architecture.
Yeah. But you have a reference to SDNR in your
writing. Parviz, let's wrap this up. Let's take this offline, and we'll come back let's say a couple of weeks.
2 weeks.
Before we do that, though, the split that I described before, is that okay for Casablanca? Because if not, we're decommitting from the five.
Hey guys, listen to what Dan is saying. Right, option one is probably the most likely option that can be done for Casablanca. Right.
I don't understand. I mean,
it's the only one that I think we can support in Casablanca, and if we don't do that, then
I'd like to understand why if that's the case, because I mean, it's out of
the FC team. I don't think has resources to absorb that work.
Let me understand this. The work has to happen. We have a certain amount of people, and now we're discussing, can we be clear to the community? And the objection is, we can't move people between projects.
Well, if we move people between projects, then the PTL of APSI has to accept that work. If they're willing to accept that work, I'll be quiet, but I don't believe they will.
If we're not clear about why we make these choices, we're doing ourselves a disservice. That's what I will say.
Hey, Steve, I think I don't want to speak for Dan, right? But what Dan is saying is that all the changes that may require to support the RAN network are going to be part of the CCSDK, and they will be implemented as part of the existing infrastructure, which happens to contain SDNC and APSI.
And I think the way we have to explain it now is SDNC is also what we're using to support PNFs and external controllers, and we're treating this essentially as another external controller.
Right.
I won't call it external controller, Chris, because it's really not a third. It's SDNC that is doing managing the DUs and CUs, and that's what we think we can support 5G use case. And if you leave it at that point, then I'm okay. But yeah. I'm okay to give the feedback. But what Dan is saying is very important to really say, look, given the resources, given the responsibility of people, option one seems most likely to be successful.
Yeah, it does make sense to me.
But hang on as well. I mean, we have a way of working. We have scopes in projects. And now we're saying we've thrown all that out the window. And because we're throwing all that out the window, now we have to go ahead and backwards engineer all of that. I think that's questionable.
No, Steve, at least I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is I think the approach that Dan is using is he's creating the persona with some very small incremental changes to CCSDK, but he's going to drive the persona with the logic, DGs, adapters, and Yang models.
I understand that. So now we have something that can, I mean, how do we explain the difference between the SDNC and EPC?
We don't have to, right?
I don't know about the way you've worked with architectures, but when you're actually drawing up an architecture, you can usually explain why you've put.
No. With all due respect, right? Just one second, one last comment, right? With all due respect to everybody, right? If we are trying to draw an architecture based on a misunderstanding, that's one thing, right? But we need to clearly, all of us, need to be on the same page in terms of the function of the EPC and the existing function in the functions of the SDNC. We may disagree on the split, but we need to be baseline with the same information.
Okay, we need some more discussion on this clearly. I got a wrap for today.
Okay.
Let's take this to email.
Thanks, Chris.
And keep it going. Thanks, Steve. This was a provocative discussion, and I think that's good and helpful for the community.
So let's keep this moving,
and we'll revisit shortly. And now I'll turn this over to Mehmet.
Hey, Steve, we're still friends.
Of course.
Right? We still have a beer.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks, Dan. Thanks, guys. Thanks, okay.
Steve. Mehmet, the floor is yours.
Yes. Let me see how I can do the share my screen. Okay. Do you see my screen now?
Yes, showing your email.
No.
Just drag your other one over on top of the email.
Let me do this.
And Chaka likes to respond to people's emails, so give him that task.
Oh my God, let me.
I heard you.
Now we see your Outlook.
Hold on, let me. Why this is doing this?
I'm glad I'm not the only one who has these problems.
Do you see my screen now? No, you don't.
No.
Okay, let me go back one more time. Share my screen.
Are you using multiple monitors?
How about now?
Yes, now yes. It says cloud services architecture.
That's okay. Sorry for trying this multiple times. Let me give you a little bit background before starting. I have certainly a lot of slides, and I may or may not be covered, but basically, cloud service architectures is really developed a couple of years ago, and then in the MEF recently, we started another project beginning of this year to revisit what we had. And I'm close to putting a draft document out, but it's pretty much really, we certainly expanded a little bit, but what we had before is pretty much preserved. That's one. Second, we also have another project in a similar fashion in HCNFE to really identify the gaps in the HCNFE architecture and to see how HCNFE can support the cloud service architectures. And actually, almost the same presentation I gave to IFA about 2 weeks ago. So in this, in these slides, I have use cases. Use cases means really what type of services, at least roughly in our mind, we're trying to address, what the overall architecture is. And also, look at the example of SD-WAN, which has been now, we have a team in MEF working on SD-WAN, as you're going to see, following the similar architecture and similar architectural constructs. And if we get to it, I'll show you the differences with the HCNFE and the gaps in the HCNFE. And so that the my claim is architectural construct that we have here should be used for the developing service level APIs. The construct has been developed in HCNFE and other places are inadequate to describe the cloud services. So with that, let me quickly go through the use cases. By the way, do you see my screen fully?
Yes.
Okay. So one of the, for example, use cases is the customer with simple CPE equipment. They go through public internet and access to the public cloud provider like Amazon or Microsoft and things like that. The other option is the users may use a private network. It could be a point-to-point or packet, doesn't matter. But at the same time, they may use the public internet as a backup. So again, they go to public cloud providers and use applications provided by those entities. The another option here is the users may go to a private network and also use the private cloud provider, which is like Verizon. And I believe maybe that's also true for AT&T. So then the Verizon may have interface to a public cloud provider, such as Amazon or Microsoft, and that could be an internal interface between them. And the end user can utilize the application provided by Verizon, and as well as by Amazon, for example. Or in other words, by private cloud providers, as well as the application provided by public cloud providers. Now, of course, we're trying to standardize this interface so that anybody can talk to anybody. In other words, any private cloud provider can talk to a public cloud provider so that we have a standard interface to communicate with. And in fact, a more generic diagram is if I am a user, I want to use the public internet and I'm going to use the private networks, and I can go to any of the public cloud providers that I want to go to. And another use case, which is really being used today, is a cloud exchange gateway, so that the cloud carriers talk to each other, but at the same time, they can talk to the cloud providers, and of course, the cloud providers talk to each other. And, you know, Equinix is the best example today. It is being done, and so we are trying to standardize this interface. Now, currently in the MEF, we call this cloud ENNI. And CPE could be a simple device, and it's going through a cloud carrier, which is providing the connectivity and accessing to the cloud applications. Or it could be it could provide a virtualized platform. So it may not even have a VNF, and you may have just cloud platform. And in other cases, even the user bring their own hardware, and we provide the platform, and they go and access the applications provided by the cloud provider. And even this could be a case too, that is you may even have a VNF on the custom premises, and those VNFs may actually establish a service chaining between the VNFs and the cloud providers. Those are all possibilities. So with that, we just summarize the cloud services. This may or may not represent all, but at least some generically represent based on the NIST categorization. So you have network as a service, infrastructure, platform, software, communications, security. Again, there could be more, but this is one way of categorizing them. The main characteristics of those cloud services are they are certainly consist of virtualized functions and non-virtualized components, PNFs. And you have network functions, you have applications, and you have connections supported by, again, by those PNFs and the VNFs. And PNFs and the VNFs can be provided by more than one public cloud provider, cloud, private cloud providers, and network operators, which we call cloud carriers. So furthermore, elasticity is a crucial piece so that you can do self-service, you can do collaboration, you can do self-configurations, but also scalability and high availability. We use the service level agreement. I'm purposely using high availability because high availability is substantially different than, in my mind, what we had in the legacy networks. And, you know, I have a lot of contribution at CNFE in that respect as well. And also, of course, the usage-based billing. So with that, if we look at the cloud services actors, certainly you have the user on the left side, and then you have cloud carrier, which is providing the connectivity, which we also call it cloud service operator. And also you have cloud provider providing the applications. And now there is also an entity we call the cloud service provider that may or may not own these facilities. In other words, it may not have the facilities for connectivity, it may not have the facilities for applications, but it's an entity interfacing to the end user, is a single point of contact responsible from the performance, maintenance, and billing. And so what is it that we're trying to establish a cloud service architecture? So what is it that we're trying to do? The main purpose is really simplify service ordering, provisioning, maintenance, and billing, and define standard interface for communications among those entities. That is the fundamental purpose of going after the cloud service architectures. So if you look at the entities, which we looked at before, of course, the users, the cloud service providers, the cloud service operator, carrier, and applications, but also you have interfaces between them. Interfaces between the cloud user and the cloud service provider, interfaces between cloud user and application. So this is actually another important the entity or interface. Excuse me. And then you have between the interface between the cloud carrier and the cloud provider, and of course the interface between the cloud providers, and also now you have connection among users, connections among the user between the user and application, and connection among the cloud users. So those are the architectural constructs for the cloud services that we have today. If you look at the interfaces, protocol stacks, this is the user interface. We have multiple names because I had the one name in the past. Now we're going through in the MEF coming up with different names. So now we call Cloud Uni, which is the user interface between the user and the cloud service provider. And we think that's going to be a layer 7 interface. That doesn't mean you're going to use all of them. There could be a case, maybe you go up to layer 2. Even there is an argument that people says maybe I can use the layer 1. I don't know if that's going to be true or not, but we haven't excluded that either. So therefore, user interface can be up to layer 7. And then the interface between the operators. Again, operator could be cloud carrier like Verizon, you know, providing networking. And then you have the cloud provider like Amazon. So that interface, it's a possibility that it could be up to layer 3. Since we're using the cloud ENNI, if you go back to the previous diagram, which I believe, if you look at this one, for example, it probably makes sense to have a layer 3 interface between the cloud carrier and the cloud provider. But if you go from cloud provider to cloud provider, that's not going to work out. I think we have to go to the layer 7. And, you know, I just had a meeting with Google, and Google said, you know, you can build infrastructure on me, and then you can transfer to somebody else. And I said, how are you going to do without any standard interface? Their answer was, look, you know, if you use the Kubernetes and the Docker, you know, containers, then I'll be able to transfer. So in some ways, I think the cloud ENNI interface actually could be up to layer 3 and could be layer 7. So the another one is the application interface, which we call this cloud interface, and that is a virtual interface, no physical layer, from layer 2 up to layer 7. So with that, if you look at the, let's say I have a cloud service user on one side, and then I have application on the other side, I simply set up a connection between them, cloud service connection, and the connection is terminated at the by the both ends, which we call a cloud service connection termination point. Now, this cloud service connection could be also between two users. I may have a virtual network too. I mean, I may have a virtual network, so it's just a transport, but still I can apply the same constructs. And so therefore I have a cloud service connection between the cloud, again, two cloud unis, and both of them are the users. There is no application here. And also the if you have multiple operators providing the application, providing the service, then you have cloud service operator on one side and another cloud service operator on the other side, and you have a demarcation point or the reference point, which is a cloud ENNI, and we have segments in each service operator. So cloud service operator connections, and the reason with that, which exactly what we did in MEF, is to make sure we know who's responsible from what, and we can maintain each of them, and we can even order them separately and things like that. Because of that, we break the connection end-to-end into the segments. So, and I have a lot of definitions, and I don't think I want to go through those. I think that will be boring, but at least if you want to take a look, you can certainly do. Instead, I want to go to the SDN as an example. So if I summarize, basically what I have really shown you is the interfaces that needs to be standardized, and also the connection termination points, so that we can put all these parameters during the ordering in those constructs and move away from that. We can hide all the details behind it. Whether you implement this through the VNF or something else, that structure still should hold. So if you look at the SDN, as you can see in the custom premises, we have the edge, SDN edge, and also you have the controller and the orchestrator, things like that, as you all know. Now, if you look at the modeling of that, as you can see, here are the user interface that they call the SDN uni. By the way, I'm right now using what is in the Metro Ethernet Forum draft right now. It's not finalized, but this is the current state or status of the work. So they have user interface, and then you have the termination point. As you can see, it says the virtual connection endpoint, and also you have a virtual connection end-to-end. And they basically try to list the attributes. Again, these are not finalized, but they list some draft. And the if you look at generically, the user interface have the physical, certainly layer parameters, and also the some bandwidth profiles, things like that. And if you look at the connection, of course, the connection type, whether it is the point-to-point or multi-point, things like that, the policies, some policy identifiers, and also, as you can see, the additional attributes like encryption, things like that. So, and then they have termination point or connection endpoint. They basically identify the ID of that connection endpoint, and also the uni that is residing. So, and I expect these things to be expanded further, but to give you an idea, even if I just take the SDN using the same architectural construct that we have we can model the SD-WAN services. So just to give you a brief idea, we haven't worked out the attributes of these. These are the preliminary work or the previous specs that I have published in 2015. And as you can see, the user interface have, you know, we have attributes, some of them dynamic, some of them are not. You have traffic management, fault management, performance, security, and billing. And therefore, you know, we have attributes and things like that. And again, I don't want to go through those. And you look at the cloud interface, which is the application interface. And similarly, again, you know, traffic, fault management, performance management, security, and billing are part of this application interface. And I also listed purposely some of the parameters of the virtual firewall, for example. So if I have those parameters like license, the VM flavors, the bandwidth, and things like that, I expect those to be configured as part of that cloud interface. So therefore, you configure all of them at once, and then the you know, the configure the VNFs and everything else internally from these user inputs. And similarly for the virtual router, and you have those attributes, again, will be part of the cloud interface. So, and then the cloud service connections, the main difference is the now service level objectives. In addition to that, and also some protection mechanism for the cloud service connection. And similar, so then in this diagram, as I mentioned before, now we break the connection end-to-end segments, and each segments are being managed separately. So, and maybe another thing is maybe worth to mention is the cloud service operator, when they interface to each other, they may use gateways as we do today, not just for cloud services, but for IPs and the metrics and things like that. So I expect the similar things will be exercised down here. So then the cloud ENNI attributes, as you know, cloud ENNI was between the operators. And the main difference over here is now you have link protection, which you didn't have before in other areas. And the connection termination point, the functionalities you see, the main difference, I think, in the previous MEF services and others that we are introducing the protection in the connection termination points. Now, these are not in fully agreed yet. Again, don't forget, we haven't finalized the cloud service architecture's new spec yet. But this is the at least proposal that I have made, and that's what we had in the previous specs. So in addition to that, we have a common attributes for cloud services, whether you have network infrastructure, network as a service, or the platform as a service and things like that. So we have defined some common attributes. Again, when I say we have defined, this is the previous specs, and we haven't done the recent work on MEF yet. And so my point here is those also will be additional attributes to be provisioned or to be configured when you actually configure a cloud service. So then, of course, if you pick up infrastructure as a service, then you have additional attributes on top of the common attributes, things like that. So now I have basically covered the SD-WAN as an example, and also the cloud service architecture. Let's take a look at the HCNFE. I am purposely doing that because my point here is, again, the inadequacy of what we have so far. And as you can see, this is the diagram they have, that is the network function forwarding graph, which really only covers the VNFs, and then even it doesn't cover the endpoint because endpoints relates to the PNFs. So therefore, the endpoint is not really part of the network function forwarding graph. But bottom line here is you have the VNFs and the virtual links that constitutes a network forwarding graph, and they also define interfaces, which is if you look at the bottom. Between the hardware and the virtualization layer, which is the VI-HA, and also they have interfaces between the VNF and the virtualization layer underneath, and of course the They also have the interface defined between the VNFs. As you can see, it's called the Software Architecture 1. And there are additional software architectures, you know, 5 and things like that you can define. I'm not paying attention to the interfaces for the network management piece yet. So, and these are, again, additional interfaces, but they are just named. They have not defined what is in these software architecture 1, 2, 3. And so my point is coming back to, I really think the VNF interface is even undefined. So the only place that we are defining in the cloud architecture, cloud interface, if you remember, which is application interface, that's where we're trying to really identify the standard interface for the VNF, VM, and things like that. So I don't want to go through those. Those are in the etc/NFV specs. But what I want to show you is the mapping. If you look at the mapping, here we have the user interface, and this is the NFV constructs. Maybe the maps to the summation of the virtual infrastructure, HA, and also the VNF combinations. And that is the user interface that we have defined in the cloud service architectures. By the way, again, I presented this thing to the IFA architecture team, and I haven't seen a single objection so far. Of course, we still have to go through a lot of work to make sure everybody is convinced, but that's the initial attempt to make the mapping. And then you have VM interface. VM interface has been defined as this in the NFV construct, and I'm mapping to the cloud interface that we have. And then we have container interface and the software architecture 1 and things like that. Again, I'm mapping them to a cloud interface. But then there is no, of course, the interface between the cloud service operator or the cloud service operator. So if you have two CSOs between the cloud carrier and the cloud provider or between the cloud providers, there is no such a thing in the etc/NFV. And for the connection, they only have VNF over the graph. And as you can see, it is incomplete, maybe partially mapping to the cloud service connection we have. And the connection termination points, there is no such a concept. So there is, again, as you can see, those are the main gaps. Even the things that I mapped, they may or may not really fully match in the cloud service architectures. So this is in the recent IFA 22. As you can see, they have the application, and on the left side, virtual CPE, and then link that they established between them. So, and then they build the model accordingly. So my first argument has been is, I don't have to have the virtual CPE on this side. I can have a regular CPE and just go to a web browser and I can have my application. So therefore, this could be just an example. It cannot be a generic architecture that you can develop something with. And forgive me, I'm for purposely mentioning those things because I see the similar stuff in the ONAP and I'm trying to point that out. This is not the way to go. And if you look at this is the NSD parameters for the end-to-end EVCP. This is again IFA 22. So even if you look at the attributes and things like that, you're going to see some of them is okay, you can use, but some the attributes or the concept are still not there. And simple bandwidth profile, even maximum bitrate, minimum bitrate, that doesn't really cover what is in the normal bandwidth profile that we are used to. I mean, the bandwidth profile, we don't have to reinvent now. It's been around for so long. Unless we change the traffic characteristic and things like that I haven't seen. So I made some comment on those. And then they use a gateway, for example, and gateway as an endpoint, and gateway has to be router, right? You may or may not have the router. You may have a switch again. This is as an example, there is nothing wrong with it, but it is not a generic architectural concept that you can write on. So, and then they go to the, multi-service two ends, but as you can see in the two ends is, here I have a customer location and it's going through two different vans. And actually two different vans are part of a single probe operator. Well, we don't have a two different vans in the operator. I mean, if you have two different operators, yeah, you can say I have one van belong to operator one and another van is operator two. This is simply two different paths. So the concepts are pretty much really different than what we used to. And as an example, again, I am not against it, but I'm simply rejecting this as a generic architecture for us to be modeled. So I stop. Maybe I went too fast, but please ask me questions.
Hey, Matt, this is Shakir. So I'm assuming that you're going to share this deck with the community.
Yes, I actually emailed last night to Chris.
Okay,
Chris.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. You may want to look at the proprietary marking.
You're right. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Because we're not going to, as a matter of fact, you know, we're not going to look at it up until, at least I'm not going to look at it up until you, in case I forward it on by mistake, I want to make sure that proprietary marking is taken off or whatever you feel comfortable with.
I will do that. I will resend it to Chris. I appreciate for pointing that out.
No problem. Thank you. Okay.
And I'll post it on the contributions page.
Okay, great.
When I get the clean version.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Mehmet, a couple of questions. This Parviz. On your slide 19, could you go back to slide 19, please? 19. Yeah, this one. Okay, so we have the concept of this external API as part of the ONAP architecture. Some part of your presentation, by the way, this is a great presentation. The external API captures some of the aspects of the interfaces between the two carriers, between a carrier, ONAP carrier, and a provider, like a partner provider. Is this any new scope that you see that should be captured in ONAP? Have you identified any new functionality? Or this is something for educational?
Well, no, it's not educational. I haven't looked into all the details of ONAP, but I just want to make sure fundamentally those interfaces, connection concept, connection termination concept, end-to-end has to be there. There is no other way around. So the external API must have those.
Yeah, I was going to just jump in real quick saying that part of the concepts here are really what the service looks like and service endpoints and things like that. So the model of the service will be impacted by this definitely. So that's the main thing to keep in mind. And mm-hmm. and as long as you have a service model, you can represent the stuff across the external APIs, no problem. But really, the focus of this should be, you know, really on the service modeling concepts and possibly resource modeling concepts as well.
Yeah.
Just to build on that, Mehmet, are you kind of so you made reference to NIST documents. Those documents are kind of predicated on this notion that everything is a service. Is that the implication of what you're showing here as well?
Everything is a service. I don't know, of course, what you mean, but it's a model for the services. In other words, let's just take the, you know, people says firewall is a service, right? I don't call this a service. I call this an application. Let's say I, as Verizon, providing the firewall to my end customer. So for me is what I expect them to do is to come and configure this user interface, and the user interface will include the firewall parameters and things like that, and establish a connection between the user and the firewall VNF, and that is the cloud service connection. So therefore now I, as a service provider, I'm responsible from maintaining this end-to-end connection. I'm responsible from the interfaces, maintaining those application interface and also maintaining the user interface. And of course, the whatever they everything has SLAs and things like that associated with it. I don't know, of course, if I respond to your question properly, but...
Well, let me clarify. If we're using VNFs, those would be resources in a sense, right?
Yes. Yes.
But, if you're providing those resources on top of different clouds as a service, then they become services themselves. And so consumed by somebody else, by another application perhaps. So I guess, you know, the models that you've mentioned kind of assume that there's a recursive approach to defining what a service is. A service is composed of other services of other services of other services.
So here is the difference. That's the main difference here. I don't call the VNF as a service. That's the fundamental difference between what I have and what at CNFV. At CNFV, VNF is just then providing an application, one of the entities. Service is end-to-end. It may have virtual entities, it may have non-virtual entities. You got to put all of them together in one end-to-end service concept. You cannot just say, I got this VNF, it's my service. That's not...
No. So that we already understand that. The VNF is a network, let's say, service, not an end-to-end user perspective service, okay?
Correct.
User perspective service, you're right. That's different from VNF.
Correct.
VNF is like a building block, yeah?
Yes, absolutely, pardon. Yes. So, but I'm completely focused on, from a user perspective, what is an end-to-end service? That's what I'm focused on. I'm not focusing on trying to see how we implement it. Is it going to be recursive or this or that? I'm trying to ignore those things and only deal with the what is user has to really provision, what is it needs to provision from the user perspective, what is it needs to be maintained, performance and everything else. That's what I care.
Yeah.
And what I care is the from services perspective, what we should care.
Yeah. What we did as part of, hold on, what we did as part of the external API project, I guess Andy is on the call, own app as a black box, and then you have the external interfaces. That black box, you're not going to change based on what you're presenting here, correct? Inside own app, you're not going to change that. Externally, you have the exposure between the two carriers, yeah? One carrier could be own app provider, one carrier could be non-own app, and that is where that you are showing in that slide 19. That is where that we need to understand the scope of in future releases of ONAP, how much of that could be captured in the scope, okay, for Dublin and beyond Dublin. Do you agree?
I think I certainly what you do internally, I will leave it as a ONAP's business. I don't think I really want to say do X and Y, but what should be exposed outside, I believe this should be the view.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Mehmet, this is Shankar.
You're exposing outside is the service view. So you're exposing the service view outside in the service model. So I really think this is impactful on the service model of ONAP, because otherwise you can't expose it.
Yeah. So we have for Casablanca, we have a business, a use case, sorry. It's called CCVPN. It's very similar to what you have in the bottom pictures that you have over here, the cloud ENNI and so on and so forth. It is very, very similar. But what we're trying to do with Casablanca is we're trying to implement it using a MEF service called EPN, which is Ethernet Private Line. I would definitely invite you to join the CCVPN discussion, because it's very similar to what you have at the bottom.
So I'm very happy to hear that. I'll be happy to join you. I'm very happy to hear that. I think Andy and I, we had the conversation multiple times, you know, on this. I believe we are pretty much in sync. It's just things are progressing slowly, but what can you do? And hopefully, once we pass the stage, then we work on the LSO stuff too, so we have really a comprehensive concept here.
Yeah, and I'm not sure about the LSO. If you're talking about the orchestration piece, I think at least with the CCVPN, what we were trying to do is trying to say that if you have ONAP deployed on both ends of the connection, can we orchestrate a MEF service EPL between two ONAP instances? And that's a very powerful concept, and that's what we're trying to do. That's one. The second comment is, sorry, all these connections, the blue connections that you have, just to make sure that we're all on the same page in terms of terminology, they become resources within ONAP that can be used to orchestrate VNF. So the blue line between the left side and the ENNI, yeah, that's it. So that's one connection. And then we need to orchestrate the connection in between and the connection on the other side. So that's all part of the logic that would have to be created with an ONAP to basically orchestrate these resources.
I believe
and that's what we're trying to do with the CCVPN. So I will reach out to you offline and we'll go over the use case in detail.
That sounds great.
Okay. Thank you.
So Chris, I'm pretty much done. I actually appreciate for giving me this opportunity and appreciate all the comments.
Great. Thank you. I'll post your slides. Just send me the cleanup version and I'll post them later today.
I will. Thank you.
So we've got about 15 minutes left. Any closing thoughts from anyone on the team before we break?
On this or anything else?
Anything else too.
Yeah, so we had some discussion during the modeling subcommittee call this morning about the VNF descriptor model. It looks like we're probably going to have a number of alternatives going, at least a couple alternatives going to the TSC on Thursday. What the proposal that we're putting forward, I don't know if we want to run through a high-level diagram or anything, but essentially we want to treat ONAP on the outside being standards-based, of course, but then driving ONAP on the inside as kind of being an agile model that we can change very quickly. And also recognizing that while SOL001 is great for describing VNFs, that the scope within ONAP is much broader. We need to do full service orchestration and lifecycle management. We need support PNFs and allotted resources and other types of things that aren't necessarily a part of the SOL model. While at the same time, we want to maintain all the onboarding artifacts because it's those onboarding artifacts that allow us to interact with external environments. So it's really important to do that. So these are, I just kind of want to quickly highlight some of the things that we'll be seeing as we make these recommendations or proposals to TSC on Thursday.
Hey Andy, this is Parviz. I send you an email asking you specifically for your external API project from Beijing to Casablanca, if you have any new content, the delta between the two releases. If you have time, could you reply to my email, please?
Yeah, we put a lot of that stuff in the M1 for Casablanca, so it may be worth just taking. It's just going to be the content that we put in our M1, so take a look at that.
Like the template that Steve is using? Andy,
Are you looking for another format, or are you looking for what we have as M1 scope, or M1 scope for Casablanca?
Yeah, you have the template. Yeah, you did it for Beijing, and now Chris is asking for the content for Casablanca. So maybe
is there a separate architecture template you that you want to fill? I'll be glad to do that.
Yeah, sure.
Please do.
Okay, very good. Are there slides on that, Andy, that we want to send around to the team?
Yeah, I can load some slides up in a little bit.
Okay.
We had some draft slides that we discussed on the VNF SDK, VNF package call, and we've done some refinements since then.
Great. Very good.
Do you want me to send those right to you, Chris?
You can send them to me or post them on the contributions page. It's a step faster if you post them on the contributions page, but if it's easier to send it to me, you can always do that.
Okay. Thank you.
Great.
Hey, Chris, one question for subcommittee. We are clear on the Casablanca, how we are going to capture the Pamba content, the auditing, or you're still waiting for more input?
Yeah, we talked about that and closed on that a couple of weeks ago. So the team wrote it up and took that to the TSC. So we're all set with that.
We are all set. Okay.
Yeah, I think that's fine. The only thing is that I don't think that we've given the chance for the scope change to be approved yet. So that has to be scheduled.
Yeah, they brought it up.
They brought it up, but it hasn't.
And the way it was left was keep going and we'll We vote on M1, which hasn't happened yet, but I expect it will this week.
No, but I think there's a project scope change that has to be done as well.
The proposal on the table from the Beijing meeting was that we would vote on that at the same time we voted on the M1 for...
At the same time, but it's a separate...
The idea was that it was like every other scope change.
Right. Like every other scope change, but each project scope has to be approved there. That page has to change according to the scope, right?
Yes. And that's supposed to happen I guess this week's TSC meeting.
I don't see an issue with this because I think it's been discussed. It's just that the formalities have to be closed off on that one, and the formalities for me is if you go into the approved projects, you go in there, you've got the scope and the project definition, and that is what has to reflect the logging change on that.
Yes.
So do we need, Chris, this is a question for the architecture diagram update. Do we need to think about that or we wait for TSC approval first?
I don't know that it actually changes the architecture diagram because from a project level view, it's the same. There's not a new project here.
Yeah, we need to add some clarification text saying that the auditing framework now includes blah, 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 like context builder and some other components, yeah. Just to describe that.
In the detailed slide on logging, but not on the architecture picture.
Yeah, the diagram probably doesn't change because that's all captured under the common services, which is auditing, or logging. Logging or auditing. But the description, because they are defining all this new microservices, the context builder, there are already projects that are contributing to that, like ANAI, DCAE, and more. So we need to explain that for Casablanca, what is the expectation from the auditing? Yes.
Okay. Good. Anything final? Otherwise, I'll break a little early and give you back about 5 minutes in your day.
Thank you.
Yeah. Not a lot of time, but something. Okay, I'll end a little early. For those in the U.S., happy 4th of July, and we'll talk with you next week.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.